Welcome to What the World Needs Now. It's our Healing Day of Prayer, and we invite you to join us to call in and give us your prayer requests. God's Word goes forth out into the world and does the work it was sent to do, to bring health and healing, to bring courage and strength when we're struggling. So sit back and enjoy this hour of power, of conversation and prayer.
Good afternoon. Welcome to this hour of programming within Assigned Catholic Radio Network. My name is Rita Halk-Lane, and I'm a friend of Kathleen McCarthy's, the president of this network. And I've been here before. I've sat in for her a couple of times, and you might remember this was back in March. And she asked me to host this hour, and it really is my pleasure to do so. I'll be happy to lift up your prayer requests if you call them in. I would like to say a little bit of a prayer. It's may the Lord bless us and look with kindness upon us in this time that we are together. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that you have given me and for the airwaves that bring this network to the world. When I was here before, one of the things that I shared with you was how important it is to praise the Lord. And I'm not talking about, you know, anything unusual. All through Scripture, there's praise to Him and for Him. And I want to do that, but I wanted to also share with you why praise is so important. In Scripture, it mentions praising of the Lord and God multiple times. He does everything for us, so we are to give Him praise and thanks because He deserves it more than anything. But it's not that He wants the praise. He doesn't need our praise, but we need to praise. By praising Him, we are telling Him and also confirming to ourselves that we are not God. We are not God, folks. And we are His children, His beloved children, and we belong to Him. He deserves our thanksgiving. He deserves our praise. And what it does for us is a very powerful thing. It releases graces within us. It teaches us and acknowledges us to us that He is our everything. I read a quote not too long ago. It said, "What do we have that we have not been given?" And so that's exactly what we come to understand when we praise. So I want to use Psalms 145 to, it's a praise of David, just a part of it to get us going. All right. Psalms 145, "I will exalt you, my God, the King. I will praise your name forever and ever. Every day I will praise you and extol your name forever and ever. Great is the Lord and most worthy of praise. His greatness no one can fathom. One generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts. They speak of the glorious splendor of your majesty, and I will meditate on your wonderful works. They tell of the power of your awesome works, and I will proclaim your great deeds. They celebrate your abundant goodness and joyfully sing of your righteousness. The Lord is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger and rich in love." I want to thank the Lord for the Holy Scriptures in the Bible, and how the Psalms have been included in there, because if you really If you're having a tough time praying, open up your Bible to the Psalms and look through it and find a psalm that speaks to your heart and pray that. Even if you don't feel like praying, find one and pray it. And if you really need some encouragement, find one like Psalms 145 that will encourage you with the attributes of the Lord. It will remind you, and because it does me, reminds me of this caring, wonderful Father that we have in heaven. And I do want to share a little bit with you about my experience in life here, the Christian life. I was raised Southern Baptist in a very loving home with a lot of issues. My father was an alcoholic, and as you well know, that right there creates a lot of issues. And my mother did the best that she could with the situation, but I knew I was loved, and the Lord gave me a very faithful mother who helped me to get to know him as a child. So I believed as a child, and with that childlike faith that you have, you don't question anything. It's like, this is real, and it's wonderful, and it was. It was. And then, you know, I got into my late teens and early 20s, and I decided that I was going to be who I wanted to be, and the world's my oyster, and I can go out and I can do whatever I want to do. And I became, I got involved in a number of entertainment industries, and if you don't know by now, it's a very challenging place for a Christian to be. And I was living very worldly life. I appreciated all the fine things in life and took them for granted. And the one good thing was, because I was raised as a Christian woman, even though I wasn't really living it anymore, every night before I went to sleep, I would pray and I would read some scripture verses in my Bible. I took my Bible with me anyway. And I really believe that doing that is what allowed me to leave that lifestyle and come back to the Lord. I mean, really come back to Him. Because once you've experienced the world as it really truly is, and it was a lot different then than it is now, you realize that to try to live half-heartedly with the Lord or to push Him on the back burner doesn't really work. It doesn't. It doesn't. And anybody out there that's listening who is, you know, like really in the world and of the world and has put the Lord on the back burner, you know what I'm talking about. It's not a good thing. But nowadays, the entertainment industry has really changed. It's not any friendlier to Christianity, but it is certainly, there's more Christians standing up and saying, I'm going to live my faith in the midst of the entertainment industries. And I'm very, 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 very grateful to them and very proud of them, because it is very difficult to do. You get ostracized, you don't get certain parts in shows and movies, and you have very few friends within the entertainment industry that are not like you, let's put it that way. They don't want anything to do with you a lot of times and make it difficult. So I'm very grateful for those who have been brave enough to stand up and declare their faith, and you're seeing the benefits of that in the entertainment industry now. There's a lot of wonderful movies. There's many, many on the web shows and radio and things that just really weren't around that much in the entertainment industry. But anyway, I came back to the Baptist Church, and over time, over a 20-year period of time, I ended up, believe it or not, becoming Catholic. I joined the Catholic Church 24 years ago, and part of the reason that I'm here now is because I'm a very, very joy-filled, passionate Catholic. I believe in miracles. I believe in answered prayer. I believe in a Father in heaven who loves each and every one of us in a personal way, and who loves nations and the church and the whole world in a way that we just can't even imagine. We can't fully realize how much he loves each one of us. If he didn't love each one of us, he wouldn't have told us in scriptures that each one of us needs to pray. Each one of us needs to participate in church. Each one of us needs to take Holy Communion. Each one of us needs to go to confession. It's for the good of the whole, but it's also individual, deep and profound love for each one of us. Please, please give him a chance to let you know that, to show that to you. So anyway, I joined the church 24 years ago, and I tell people all the time it's been the greatest joy of my life, and I mean that. I obviously, I love my family, adore my husband, you name it, but the joy that I have from being Catholic is indescribable, even after 24 years. And I'm hoping that whenever I get to come and share with you, that I can explain to you some of the reasons for that. Because the church is under fire. There's a lot of people who don't go anymore. They think that it's just this one of many places to go. It's not special, blah, blah, blah. But I have to share with you that it is remarkably special. But we have to give it a chance. We have to give the Lord a chance. I remember when I was, still a Baptist. I was a teenager, and I was sitting with my friends up in the balcony of the church, and the minister was preaching about church and whatever, and he said, some of you have been hurt by people in the church. Some of you have experienced not good things within the church. Some of you have seen things that shouldn't have happened within the church. And I won't go into the details to bore you, but I had been really, really hurt, profoundly hurt by the choir director. I was trying out for a small singing group. And at the end of my tryout, she said something to me that absolutely floored me, broke my heart, and injured me beyond all telling. And then about 2 weeks later, if I'd been a different person, I may have just walked out of the church at that time and walked away. But I had friends there, and I was grateful for the church I belonged to, so I went to church, and the minister that day that I referred to earlier was talking about how people have been injured, and there's all kinds of imperfect people in the church. And he said, he picked up the Bible, and he held it up, and he looked out at us, and he says, "Where in this book does it say that all the people you will encounter in church are going to be perfect? Where does it say your feelings will not be hurt? You won't be abused. You won't experience disappointments and overwhelming disappointments." And he said, "It doesn't say that. It says the exact opposite. In an ideal, perfect world, every person who shows up at the church door and comes in will be a spectacular, holy, amazing person. But in reality, that doesn't happen. Just look. Just look at, if you haven't spent much time in the Old Testament scriptures, you need to go back and you need to read. Because every person, I mean, every time you turn around, there's somebody who the Lord has entrusted to do great things, falls backwards and does things they shouldn't do, all kinds of disappointments to the Lord, disappointments to the people, you name it. It's an imperfect world, and, you know, the Lord deals with imperfect people. He loves imperfect people. He wants us to get close to Him so that we can have a better life and do the things that make a better world, you know. So anyway, and look at Jesus Christ, you know. The perfect God-man, the people that He chose to follow Him, to be His disciples, to train up in the way that we should go. What a motley crew. I mean, when they started out, I mean, read the Gospels, read them and find out how imperfect even those chosen by the Lord in His earliest days of ministry, how they had to grow. And even after the Holy Spirit was poured out upon them at Pentecost, they still had challenges, you know? So whatever you may think about the church at this time, and good or bad, please, you know, don't write off the church as something that's supposed to be holy and perfect. It isn't. That's where people who aren't holy and perfect go, to get close to the Lord and each other, work together, learn together, support each other, lift each other up, pray together, and love the Lord together. That's what church is all about. And I absolutely love it, okay? Also, like for the last 23 years, I have been leading a women's Bible study group at my parish. What an incredible blessing that has been to me, far beyond anything that anyone could imagine. Not only have we studied the Word of God for 23 years now, I mean, obviously some people really have been there the whole time, but a lot of them have come and gone as they needed to. And women of all ages and walks of life have been there. Every kind of person you can imagine has been in that group. And we are a very, very wonderful, I mean, I should say they are a very wonderful, close-knit community of women who really have taught me the value of church as a community. There's nothing that compares to it outside in the world. And I have also worked with Mother Teresa's religious order, the Missionaries of Charity, in Chester and occasionally in Norristown for 23 years. I am so blessed beyond measure. As I said, I'm madly, passionately in love with Jesus Christ, the church, our faith, and church teachings, everything, because as a convert, I didn't take that lightly. It was very difficult to leave where I came from. And I prayed a lot. I studied a lot. I had to be convinced that this was something important and real. And believe you me, I am. So I thank you for listening to that. But I do want to share that at a Mother Teresa event last September, it was in Washington, D.C. It was a whole weekend. And I was able to go for part of that. And I was so grateful because um, there were multiple speakers, the sisters were there, there were masses. It was really wonderful. I saw people I hadn't seen in years. It was really wonderful. But one of the speakers said something that really drew me up, and basically what he said was, you say you believe in Jesus Christ, but let me ask you this question. Do you believe that Jesus Christ is the answer to every person's needs and the needs of the world? Basically, the answer to everything in life. And he said, ponder that for a moment. He said, if not, ask for the grace to know this truth. It really stood out to me because, I mean, how many people who are believers actually believe that? They believe that he, you know, suffered, died, rose again, etc., etc. He's the Lord of our lives. We got salvation through him. But do we really believe that he is the answer to everything? All the challenges, all the ills, all the broken relationships, all the needs of the world. Do we believe that in him is the joy that we were all created to receive, to experience, to have? Do we really believe that? I'm asking you to ask yourself that question. Because the Lord, there's a scripture in Ephesians, we have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in the heavens through Jesus Christ. It's all there available to us. But have we given our yes to it? Because we have free will. We can say no. We can say, half-hearted, whatever. But I wanted to stay on that subject of Jesus Christ for a second. Papa John Paul, I call him that, St. John Paul II, he had a profound impact on my life, and so therefore, I'd like to quote this from him. He said, the Redeemer of man, Jesus Christ, is the center of the universe and of history. And it's true, folks. It is true. He's the center of everything. If you read the Bible, the scriptures, from the very beginning of mankind all the way through to today, you will see the love of God through the plan of the history of salvation, how the Lord has unveiled and revealed his love for mankind throughout the ages. And I just want to focus on Jesus for a few minutes. He said that I am the way, the truth, and the life. And he wasn't kidding, folks. He was not kidding. Throughout my life, I've experienced life without him, life in rebellion against him, and life with him. And believe you me, life with him is indescribably wonderful compared to life in rebellion against him or without him. I know I'm speaking to the choir here. Those of you who are listening, you know what I'm saying is true because you've experienced it yourself. When you say yes to him, he gives back more than we could ever give to him. Life lived with him, to me, is extremely exciting, challenging, very interesting, never boring, and extremely rewarding. I mean that with my whole heart. The girls, the ladies in my Bible study, in our Bible study, know that what I'm saying is true. It's a life that can be filled with amazing joy, peace that's indescribable and love like you've never experienced anywhere else in your life. He's promised those things, and he gives those things, all right? He keeps his promises. And if you don't know him, if you're one of those people listening and you don't know him, I am begging you to get to know him, because he is very real and very interested in you. He wants your heart. He wants to prove to you who he is and how he loves. But we have to agree with him and say, okay, Lord, I don't know you. I don't know what to believe about you. There's so much out there. Please, please come and visit me and show me yourself. Provide for me opportunities to get to know you. And then pick up a Bible, buy a Bible, and look it up. And or call a friend that you know is a Christian, or call a minister, a priest, or whomever. Say, look, I don't know if I believe in this guy, but, you know, someone says that it's worth it, and I want to see if he really is. Okay? But those of you who already believe, you know, just give him your everyday yes. Say, hey, Lord, hey, what do you want to do with me today? Let's go out in the world together. I want to consecrate my entire day to you and give you every experience, every thought, every word, every deed, and open my eyes so I can see what you want me to do, where you want me to go. Okay? It's really an amazing thing when you say yes to him. We've all said no. We've all put it off, whatever. So basically, let me encourage you to say yes, and I'll talk more about that in a little bit. We're going to take a little brief break, and I'll be back. Thanks for joining me, and please stay online. Bye-bye.
Hello, Father DeLacy here, and I owe a great debt of gratitude to the In His Sign radio ministry. It was this radio ministry that I listened to when I was going from being a lukewarm Catholic to an engaged Catholic. And this ministry really majorly affected the Catholic that I am today. Kathleen McCarthy in particular has an uncanny ability to speak to the heart. And when she speaks to the heart, she speaks with God's love, with his grace, and with his mercy. I can honestly say that I am a better Catholic, a better man of God, and have experienced the healing and joy of the gospel because of the great ministry of Kathleen McCarthy. And so I encourage others to listen to her so that they can experience the beautiful work that God does through her beautiful words.
You're listening to In His Sign Catholic Radio, empowered by the Holy Spirit, bringing the fire of God's love to the world. We are blessed to have had this Catholic radio apostolate for almost 40 years now. Thanks be to God for your partnership. Without you, this radio voice would be silenced. We have a monthly Mass offered for you, our loyal family of listeners. It's our way of saying thank you for underpinning our apostolate with your many prayers and financial support. This is your radio ministry, to be a voice for those who have no voice, to evangelize and to catechize for a time such as this. We know the Lord will bless you abundantly. He can never be outdone in generosity. If this ministry has touched your heart, help us to touch other hearts by supporting us with your prayers and financial support. Call us at 610-527-2906 or visit our website at inhissign.com.
Welcome back, everybody. I'm Rita Lane. Rita Halk Lane, as Kathleen likes to call me. I'm sitting in and doing the show today. One of the wonderful things about this particular hour and show is that we pray. All right. And if you have any prayer requests and you want to phone them in or go online and put them in the website, that would be great. And so I do have one prayer request here, but I want to pray a little bit in general and then also add to this. And I would appreciate it if you pray together with me. And we will lift up our concerns to the Lord now. And this other prayer request come in, I will interrupt what I'm doing, and we'll pray, all right? In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Blessed are you, O Lord, our God, King of the universe, our Father in heaven. We come before you as your children, thanking you and praising you for your care and concern and mercy and love, where you have given us the vehicle of prayer, to allow us to learn that you answer prayer, to bring before you the concerns of our hearts, our minds, our bodies. And so, Lord, we lift up all the listeners, their concerns, their needs, and for their families and those that they care for. There's so much pain in the world, Lord. We know this isn't heaven. We know that this is a world full of many challenges and a lot of pain. And so I lift up all of the pain and all of the needs to you of everyone listening and everyone in every circumstance, even those who may not believe. In their stead, we hold up their needs to you, O Lord our God. And so I bring before you this prayer request that came in. It says, please put Donna on the prayer line for hip replacement surgery. First of all, we thank you, Lord, for these surgeries that are changing lives all over the world. I mean, there was a time when we did not have these surgeries where we could become, you know, bedridden, wheelchair ridden, in agony, and very, very feeling like burdens to other people. I mean, it was multifaceted. And here you have, through your intercession with others and helping doctors and scientists to develop treatments. We can do hip replacement surgery, knee replacement surgery, so many replacement, heart replacement, for heaven's sake. We thank you, Lord, for giving us these gifts of healing, because they really are healing. And so we bring Donna and everyone else who's having any kind of hip or knee replacement surgery in the near future. We hold them all up to you. We ask for extraordinary grace and help for them to have strong bodies, to get through the surgery without any complications, any side effects, any problems at all, that they will recover quickly, and that they will be able to walk and sit and move and be who they remember being when they were younger or less injured. And Lord, I pray for the doctors, the nurses, the healthcare professionals who will be taking care of and doing the surgery and following up and the physical therapy, all of these people involved in this great work. I pray for their ability to do extraordinary jobs, and especially as a result of these prayers, because we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you pour out extraordinary grace when we pray, and you love to do it. So we pray for Donna and all of these people who are in the process of working towards having replacement surgery, hip and knee replacement surgery. And we also hold up the people that we know and that we've heard about that have already had a hip and knee replacement surgery and are recovering or are still struggling with maybe some issues. We pray for absolute and complete healing, because we know that you love to heal, and we pray that you will heal these people and continue their progress. You know, give them encouragement. It's very hard to persevere after these surgeries sometimes, because you want to get up and run out the door right away. And so I lift up Jack, a friend of ours' father, and a number of other people who have had these surgeries to recover fully and quickly. I also want to hold up next Tuesday. There has been a call for a day of prayer and fasting for peace in the world. Unless you have been totally cut off from what's going on in the news and in the world, it's impossible not to see that we are in crisis in the world. And today, I want to pray for that, but I also want to remind you that today is Friday the 13th. And what do you think of when you hear that, Friday the 13th? It's like, oh, do you think of horror movies and scary things and bad luck and all that? Well, no, let's not go there with that. Let's put a good spin on it, and let's remember that this is the 106th anniversary of Our Lady appearing at Fatima with the miracle of the sun. And it was truly miraculous, and it's estimated that 50 to 100,000 people witnessed it, including atheists and critics and government officials who did not believe in it. And so many, many witnesses. So we can trust it. All right, we can trust it. And basically, Our Lady came with a lot of... if you don't know about the miracle of the sun, go online and Google it. Miracle of the sun in Portugal. All right, and it will pop up, and it'll tell you all about it. But Our Lady was calling for us to pray, and especially pray the rosary. If you don't pray the rosary, please start praying the rosary. It really is a meditation on Jesus Christ, and it is an appeal to the Lord to pour out extraordinary grace on the world, you know, for peace, for healing of families and so many things. And so please pray the rosary. And if you are not a Catholic, let me tell you that there are non-Catholic Christian churches all over the world who have started praying the rosary, because it really is the gospel in a prayer. It's a meditative, pondering prayer, and it's filled with grace, and miracles have happened as a result of the rosary being prayed. So try it. Go online, How to Pray the Rosary, all right, and try it. You will not be disappointed. The peace that you will feel by praying that prayer is unbelievable, and the Lord will show you answers to those prayers. So I ask you to pray, and I pray for everyone's needs in the world today, especially in the war-torn areas. You know, I don't know about you, but when Putin invaded the Ukraine, I was actually shocked. Shouldn't have been, because There are people in this world and forces in this world that don't like peace. They're self-centered, they want what they want, and they'll do anything they can to get it. And when he went into the Ukraine and was, you know, just destroying people's lives, destroying buildings, not caring that he was destroying buildings. He wants to occupy that space and make it his own. And without God's help and without help of allies around the world, it's not going to end well. But we believe in God, and we believe in the power of prayer. And look how long this has gone. It's gone on too long, but Ukraine has not given up, and Putin and his country have not been victorious. So that tells you something right there. So keep praying about that. But I was really shocked that in this day and age that countries cannot come, you can't build treaties with each other and work together in a win-win situation where everybody wins in those situations. A little give here, a little give there, a little take here, a little take there. In this day and age, it's shocking that people aren't willing to even try that. And looking at Israel and all that they're going through, and this little teeny tiny country that somehow keeps emerging victorious over the years, and in spite of being surrounded by enemies. And if you don't know by now that it has to be the Lord's doing, standing in, and the battle is the Lord's, I don't know what else you can think, because in worldly ways, there's no way that that should be happening. So we thank the Lord for his help, for listening to prayers, and we really do pray for an outpouring of the Spirit upon the world to really, really bring peace. Peace in our hearts, peace in our families, peace in our nations, and peace in the world. And it's not going to happen without God's help. It's just not going to. Left to our own devices, things don't go well. All right. Anyway, I wanted to share with you a little bit about Mother Teresa, because she has had a profound effect on my life. Unexpected, out of the blue, profound effect on my life. If you don't know a lot about her, I ask you to Google, because I don't want to spend a lot of time telling everybody all about, you know, her history and everything. But basically, she was called by the Lord to go out of her comfort zone. She was a religious sister who was sent to India from Albania, and while she was there, she taught in a school and was very happy. The children loved her. She loved what she was doing, and she went on retreat, and on that retreat, the Lord said, "I'm calling you to do something different." And he told her, basically, he wanted her to go into the streets and help the forgotten, the dying, the sick, and to give his love to them, because no one was doing that. And he loved them, and he wanted them to know this. So anyway, she did it, and she became world famous, and the Lord made her a saint because he wanted her to teach us something, and he wanted us to listen to her. So I was, about a year after I became Catholic, I was walking through my house, and I had on Catholic TV show. And I was not really listening too much, but I heard a quote. Somebody said this was a quote, two quotes of Mother Teresa. The first one was, "I focus on one person at a time. If I looked at the big picture of all the needs in the world, I would have never picked up the first person." That's a lesson to all of us, because we can be overwhelmed when we listen to the news and when we look at the needs around us just in our own neighborhoods. It's like, what difference can one person make? I mean, really, you know? But Mother said, that one person, you, if you take one person at a time, whoever the Lord puts in your life at any given time, and do something for that one person, that's all he's really asking you to do. Let other people and let him take care of the rest. The other thing that I heard, quote, was, we're not called to do great things. We're called to do small things with great love. And I felt like if I couldn't do something big and glorious for God, or be in a big, glorious ministry or whatever, that my little individual efforts would not amount to much at all. But she taught one person at a time, and small, little things is what God wants us to do with great love. We are not social workers, a government entity. We are lovers of Jesus Christ. We are lovers of our neighbors. And that is the difference. We do everything with love. And if we don't have love, then we need to pray for it. And he will give it to us. Okay? She also taught me that there's many types of poverty. There's, at the time that I got to know her a little bit through, you know, her ministry and her books, I thought of poverty as material poverty, people hungry, people without food, without homes, that sort of thing. But there's also emotional poverty, where people are very lonely. They've been injured by people, and they're struggling with very injured emotions. They don't know how to react to the things that they've experienced and how to grow out of into something more constructive and more hope-filled. And then there's spiritual poverty. Everyone has a hunger for God. In fact, some people are starving for God. They might be extremely wealthy materially, but they're really struggling because they are spiritually poor. They don't know the Lord. They don't want people around the world. There's people who don't want the Lord because they don't know him. That's what Jesus said to Mother Teresa. Go out in the streets. People don't want me because they don't know me. We, my brothers and sisters, have to be ones out in the world helping people to know Jesus Christ as the one who loves them more than anyone, the one who brings healing to all of the things that are they've been injured by in life, the one that multiplies the joy in their life like no one else or nothing else can. And I just want to encourage you to remember those things. And if I get the, the privilege of coming back again, I will continue to share with you some of the things that I've learned that have given me great joy, and I believe have given other people great joy because of my ability to share with them what has brought me such great joy, because it's all about him and you can trust him. And I'm just going to pray a little prayer right now and say, Lord, thank you for this time together. Open your grace out upon the people that have listened, and I pray for extraordinary help for them, and bless you, and keep coming back to In His Sign Network. God bless. Bye-bye. Oh, I'm not off yet. I thought it was 58, but it's 50. Hey, I've got a little more time. Awesome. If you're driving home or listening while you're cooking or anything like that, it's wonderful to have been with you. Another thing I can share with you, though, is Mother Teresa said, you know, let me back up. Every one of us is wondering, how can we make a difference in the world? What can we do? Okay, and there's a lot of things that we can do. Okay, a lot of things. But someone asked Mother Teresa, I want to change the world. I want to make a difference in the world. And one of the things she said to this person was, you don't have to be a missionary in a foreign land. If you want to change the world, go home and love your family. Go home and look around you. You can find your Calcutta everywhere you go if you just have eyes to see. So if you're on your way home, or you're waiting for somebody to come home, or you're at home by yourself and you're a little lonely or something, how about if you ask the Lord to help you truly engage with someone this evening? Truly be there present with that person. Turn off your electronic devices. Put them aside. Start conversations. Have a real wonderful, not wonderful, but a real engaged experience of the people that are in your home or at your workplace. Or if you're not with somebody, call someone on the phone. Or sit down and write a little note to the person and help them to feel that somebody cares. That can be your Calcutta for the evening. That can be your doing small things with great love. And trust me, even when you're tired, if you do that, you get energy from the Lord. You start to realize that by giving of yourself and just thinking of someone else, even though you don't feel like it, something special happens, especially if you pray before you do it. And one of my favorite prayers is one that Mother Teresa taught me. And it was and is, and I use it all the time, Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to me now. Mary, Mother of Jesus, be a mother to whoever's coming home, or whoever you're going to talk to on the phone, whoever I work with. And that's because Mary is our spiritual mother. I'll tell you about it later, at a different time. But as a non-Catholic Christian, I did not understand why Catholics would, had so much love for Mary, why they would want to ask her to pray for them, why they would just focus on their prayer lives, in addition to their regular prayer lives, focus on Our Lady. I understand it now, and I would love to share that with you at some point, but basically, trust me, we are one big family. It's one of the things I've learned in the church. There is the family in heaven, or I should say the family who have passed are not with us here. There's the saints who we know are in heaven that have already been through all of this and had extraordinary lives. And there are saints here, our little bit of tiny sainthood. And we are one big family. We are the body of Christ. We are connected. There is no such thing as dead people in the spiritual world. In the physical world, sure, of course, our physical bodies are gone. But our spirit lives on and is very even more alive than before. And so when we ask Our Lady to join us in prayer, to be our spiritual mother, we give her permission to be that. We give her permission to intercede for us and to be a prayer warrior for us, just like we become prayer warriors for people who ask us for prayer. And so that little teeny tiny prayer, Mary, Mother of Jesus, please be a mother to me now. I can't tell you how many times I've prayed that. And the challenging relationships have been smooth. It's unbelievable how beautiful that prayer works. And Mother Teresa taught it. And I trust Mother Teresa because of the impact she had on the world and on my life and on even non-believers. They would trust her and do what she said to do because they saw in her the answer to many things that God wanted to show to us. So please do that. Please go home. Be fully and engaged and present with your family. And I'll leave you with a quote from Mother. Of course, oh, here it is. She's speaking to her sisters and volunteers. Your vocation, your work, your calling is not to work for the lepers. As you well know, probably Mother Teresa cared for the lepers, respected them, took care of them physically, and gave them work to do so they could be independent on their own. But she said this to the sisters and the volunteers. Your vocation is not to work for the lepers. Your vocation is to belong to Jesus. The work for the lepers is only your love for Jesus in action. So when you go home tonight, or when someone comes to your house, or when you make that phone call, remember that you're doing it because you love Jesus. And you want to show his love to other people. And that by being united with him, beautiful, you're doing something beautiful for God. Mother Teresa said, we can't do what she did, she can't do what we do, but together, each of us doing our little part, we can all do something beautiful for God. So you know you can do this. So pray, trust, and act. And the Lord will be with you, and you will see. He will prove to you that what he wants to do in your life is really true. It's going to happen, and in his own time, you will know it. Trust me, I'll talk about that again some other time, but I really appreciate you hanging in there with me. Have a wonderful weekend. Do the things that give you rest of your soul. Go to church on Sunday. Be brave. Do something that maybe you haven't done in a long time. Go to church. Go to church. It's an amazing place. God bless you. I love you. Take care, and God bless Kathleen.